I have had two personally, I have had to personally grow in this area. My husband being a pastor and actually more people oriented than I was, felt that God would want us to open freely our home to others. And I knew he was right. However, knowing this and doing it are two separate things, as you all know. It was easy to know that I should be practicing hospitality, but I found to actually do it came a lot harder. And I quickly discovered that God had to do a work in my heart and help me to embrace a heart for hospitality. And what I mean by a heart for hospitality is just a willingness to allow God to use us and the resources that he's given us to meet the needs of people by showing the love of Christ in a home environment. God began to work in my heart in this area almost 30 years ago. We were entering the Christmas season, and traditionally we spent Christmas Eve with family, but because of some different things that happened in my family, that tradition came to an end, and leaving us with Christmas Eve to spend however we wished. Now, some of you might think that would be like heavenly if that happened for you, just spend Christmas Eve however you wish. But for us, that happened, that fell in my lap. And I was kind of looking forward to this because our children were preschoolers and we were free to start some new traditions of our own. And well, my husband approached me about an idea that he had in the back of his mind for many years, and he wanted to have some people come to our home for Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve had always been a real lonely time. He hated Christmas Eve when he was single. People were out with family and friends, and his family did nothing on Christmas Eve. And he would, as a teen and a young adult, drive around on Christmas Eve because he didn't want to just stay at home, and it was very lonely. And so he wanted to have some people over for Christmas Eve, and I became very interested in the idea as I envisioned how nice it would be to spend our Christmas Eve with special friends. And he quickly, though, put a stop to my dreaming as he began to share with me the people that he wanted to invite. And none of them were our closest friends. And he told me of six people who I would describe as the most different type of people in the church that we were in at that time. At least they were different from us. And I began to tell him why I didn't think that this was a good time to have these people to our home. I mean, after all, it was Christmas. That's a time for close family and friends and people that you connect with. And these people we hardly knew. And let me tell you, that's not a heart for hospitality. But my husband felt strongly that this is what we should do. So I kind of tried another route of reasoning and reminded him of how small our home was and where would we all eat. We lived in a very small bungalow at the time, and he told me, "Kathy, don't worry about it. We'll just squeeze together. And another thing, make lots of food," because four of these people were single men who like to eat. And well, needless to say, I complained. And what would I make? You know, when would I cook this food? And how would I serve it in this little house? And well, you know, not a heart for hospitality. But it didn't end there. Armin approached me a few days later and said, "Honey, I think that it would be really nice if we got each of our guests a small gift." And I just thought, a small gift, you know, for six people? And our finances were very tight at the time, and I hate to admit that I complained, and I told him that I didn't think it was necessary. Where would I get the money to buy six people gifts? And even if we could afford it, I wouldn't have a clue of what to buy for six people that I hardly knew. And again, not a heart for hospitality. And so Armin suggested that I get them each a pair of socks. So that's what I did. I wrapped them up as gifts because he wanted this to be really nice, a really nice night for these people. And he was excited about sharing a special part of our lives, Christmas Eve, with people who literally had nothing to do. And he would call them the Lonely Hearts Club Band. And I was not, you know, at the same place that he was at. I was concerned about the preparations and wondering how enjoyable this night was going to be for me and my children. But I prepared everything in the way Armin suggested. And it was really that night that the Lord started to develop in me a heart for hospitality. And as the night progressed, the Lord revealed to me how important these unimportant, different than us people were, and how us opening our home to them on Christmas Eve was something that touched them very deeply. And all the work and the preparations began to seem very unimportant. They enjoyed the food, but what really touched them was us just opening our home to them. And of course, I felt terrible about how I complained about all the details and about buying them each a gift as I watched one of them on the verge of tears as he opened his pair of socks, and he was just very touched that he would that we would actually think of buying him a gift. Well, that night lasted until about 3 a.m. The Lonely Hearts Club Band have nothing to do. You know, they're not in a hurry to get home, but lasted till about 3 a.m. when that last person finally left. And I was tired the next day, but for some reason, you know, it didn't really matter. The Lord began to show me that opening my home to others meant looking past all the work and all the preparations and all the expense, all the shortcomings of my home, and seeing people. And it was from that point that I began my journey of learning to practice true biblical hospitality, which is what I want you to grasp this morning. And it's the first point on your outline. Everybody has even an outline there, that yellow paper. Biblical hospitality. Now, the Bible does speak to the issue of hospitality in the book of Romans, beginning in chapter 12. The Apostle Paul says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." And then Paul continues on throughout that chapter telling us how we can do that, you know, how we can present ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice. And included in Paul's exhortation of how we can present ourselves a living sacrifice, in verse 13 is the command to contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And I was surprised to discover that being a people person has nothing to do with who should extend hospitality. Biblical hospitality, the way God desires for us to open our homes and reach out to others, is a requirement. It's a command, in a sense, for every one of us who knows the Lord. And I think we could say that biblical hospitality is simply an opportunity for those of us who know Christ to meet the needs of others by showing the love of Christ in a home environment. And who exactly are the others? Well, the Bible I think, makes reference to three kinds of people to reach out to when it speaks of practicing hospitality. We see one right here in Romans 12:13. Another version of this verse says, contribute to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. So point A there on your outline, instructing us, Romans 12:13, instructs us to reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. People who are in need. Primarily our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. In New Testament times, travel was dangerous and inns were for the most part unsafe and expensive. So the believers at that time opened their homes to travelers, especially fellow believers. And they shared freely what they had with those who they allowed to stay in their homes, whether it was a warm bed or food or whatever else their guests might need. Being hospitable was a way of ministering to others. And you know, it makes me think of 1 John 3:17 that says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? And I think it's good for us to think even beyond material needs. It's interesting that in the same context, two verses later is the command that we're all familiar with, to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's all in this same context where we find hospitality. And I think what better way to do that than to have someone in your home during a time of rejoicing and celebration and rejoice with them. We do that for birthdays, don't we? We have parties for graduation, the birthday party, all celebrating some special event. But you know what? I think we should also do it during a time of sorrow or trial, to listen to their story and weep with them and minister the love of Christ to them. And then a second type of person we see is in 1 Peter 4:9. It tells us to be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And even though this speaks to our attitude, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but I want us to think of a kind of an obvious type of second group of people that we're to extend hospitality to. It's just simply the one another's in our lives. And this would include friends and even family, people that we know well. Just open your home freely to them. And then a third group, Hebrews 13:2, gives us a third type of person the Lord wants us to extend hospitality to. It says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Now, the first part of this verse is simply telling us to not be afraid to open our homes at times to people that we don't know very well. Okay, strangers. Maybe this could be to a family in your neighborhood, or a new family that visits your church, or a mom that you meet on the playground. We have a ministry here to international students, where you can actually, during the holidays, have an international student who's going to school here at Case or Cleveland State or wherever here in the area. You can have them in your home for the holidays, for Christmas Eve or Thanksgiving or Christmas. We're to be friendly and extend hospitality to those that we don't really know that well. The second half of the verse isn't to be our motivation for extending hospitality to strangers, because, you know, maybe on some occasion these strangers might end up being angels. Okay, that's not to be. Our motivation is always to be for the love of others and for God's glory. The point of the second half of the verse is that we can never know really. We can never know how important and far-reaching a simple act of reaching out may be. The writer of Hebrews is most likely thinking of Abraham, who maybe some of you know the story. He went out of his way to help three men who were passing by his tent. And you can read about it in Genesis 18. And at the time, he had no idea that two of the men were angels and the third was the Lord himself. Now, of course, we need to use common sense in deciding what strangers to extend hospitality to, but let's also keep in mind, moms, that we can never know how important or how God might use this act of love in someone's life. Maybe you've been invited to someone's home just at a certain time in your life, and you think, you know, they'll never know how much that meant to me, them having me over their house at this point in my life. That young man who was in tears opening his socks, I remember coming back to me a month later and saying, "You'll never know how much that meant to me that you invited me to your home that night." It's that kind of a thing. We'll never know. We can never know how important it is or how God might use your act of extending hospitality in someone's life. Now, I realize that for many of us, including myself, opening our homes to others, even family and friends, can be an extremely stressful experience, let alone to strangers. So I thought it would be good to look at some characteristics that I think are necessary when it comes to opening our homes to others and doing it with the proper heart attitude. Some characteristics that I'm going to share with you, you may already possess, and some of them you may need to be developed, and that's okay. Look at them as goals to pursue and allow God to stretch you in this area. And it begins first with the right heart attitude. That's a characteristic that's necessary, is having the right heart attitude. I think this is the starting point, because hospitality will be very hard to pursue without the right heart attitude. You will most likely do it a few times and then end up saying, "I'm never doing that again." You know, I've been there too. We're not having people over anymore, you know. So we always have a choice, though, in our attitude. And this is especially true in the area of hospitality. Attitude is what makes the difference between hospitality being a drudgery or a joyful service. That's why Peter tells us to be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I also think it's helpful to keep in mind Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, which says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." And it kind of plays out like this, okay? We can either think of the mound of dishes and the work involved, or we can focus on the people who will be encouraged or ministered to as we open our home. I mean, even think about Mary and Martha, okay? I believe they were both hospitable. You know, we think, oh, Mary was the hospitable one. I think they were both hospitable, but Martha was concerned about the dishes, and Mary was concerned about the guest. See the difference there? Or we can think, I want to impress people with my home or my beautiful decorating or my cooking. You know, some of us are fabulous cooks, and I just want to impress them with, I want to make this fabulous dinner. We can think that way, or we can think, my home, no matter how beautiful or simple it is a gift from God, and I want to use it to minister to others. We can think, this is going to be such a hassle trying to prepare everything with my little ones. Or we can think about the positive impact opening our home to others is going to have upon our children. We can think about our tidy home getting dirty and messy. Or we can think, I want my kids to be able to share their home with some friends. I mean, how many times, you know, I would think my kids would want to have some other kids over, and I think, oh man, they're going to destroy the place, you know. And then, but I have to think, you know, I want them to be able to open, I want them to know this home is open for their friends to come. How many of us, when we became teenagers, never felt that it would be awkward if we were going to brought our friends home, you know, like, oh man, you know, it would have been uncomfortable. But by practicing hospitality with the right attitude, the right heart, we can teach our children how to socialize with all different kinds of people. And as they see us, or they should be seeing us, opening our home to not only close friends, but also people that we don't know well, and even people who are hurting and going through a difficult time, we would purposely invite families that we didn't know well into our home, and who didn't have children the same age as our children, so that our children would learn that we can still enjoy the company of people who aren't the same age as us, or people who may be very different than us. I mean, I know we would tell our kids, oh, we're having so-and-so over, and they'd be like, oh, well, they don't have any kids, you know, they're not our age or whatever. And I'd say, you know what, it's not about that. It's about we can still enjoy this company even though they're different from you, or they're not the same age as you. So our Christmas Eves were always filled with a mishmash of people, and that was intentional. You're teaching them in a real life way, not just telling them, as we so often do, how to love others like Christ. Christ wasn't partial, only loving and caring for his friends, but he cared about and loved the unlovely and the lonely, and he ate with sinners and strangers. And so we should talk about this with our children and practice it in a real way by opening our homes to a variety of people. The right heart attitude, a heart for hospitality, sees people and the opportunity to minister to them as more important than what my home looks like or what I cook. Even all of the preparations, as hard as that can be, is viewed as being worth it because of the impact the love of Christ will have on those that I open my home to. This is stretching, but when it's done with the proper attitude, you'll experience great joy and great blessing. Another quality that's needed is organization. And this simply means being in control. And when you're in control of the details of hospitality, it becomes a joy that you participate in instead of a nightmare that you live through. Now, if you're not an organized person, it simply means that this is an area that the Lord wants you to grow in. The thing about being organized is that it is something that you can learn. And you have a handout there that gives you and some ideas on how to get started. So you don't have to write these things down, what I'm sharing with you. It's at the end of your handout there, how to get started. But you can start, first of all, just by simply making a list of people that you would like to have over. And then you make a decision to have maybe one family over a month or every other month, you know, whatever you think you can handle. Maybe it's just like, you know, next year we're going to have people over three times, you know, just in a year. You start simple or what you think you can handle. One of the biggest obstacles is, what should I make? So what you want to do is come up with about three or four dinners that you know how to cook really well. Okay, even if you're not a cook, you have a few dinners that come out good. You've got to. Okay. No, Becca, no. Yeah, I'm going to ask Chris about that. Well, I have two Italian dinners and two chicken dinners, and that usually come out well. And I generally use one of these when we have guests over. And this takes the stress out of wondering what you're going to make. And like for Christmas Eve, I would generally make the same thing every year. It's lasagna, ham, salad, and pizza for the kids. You know, the same thing. And then it's a good idea to ask your guests if they have any food allergies, or is there anything they absolutely don't like or that their children don't like, because you don't want the kids to get there and that they hate what you make. Then after you decide on a menu, make a list of everything that you're going to serve, right down to the drinks. And then from that menu, make a grocery list of all the things that you're going to need. And I know for some of you, you might be like, well, this is kind of obvious, Kathy. But you know what? I had to learn. I really, just through some interesting things with practicing hospitality, I learned to become more organized like this to take the stress out of having company. But then the week prior to the company coming, you want to write down day by day what you will need to do to prepare for them coming. So, for example, if you're having company on Friday, you don't want to go do the grocery shopping, clean your house, and do all the cooking on Friday. Okay, I tried it. It's a nightmare, believe me. Or even on Thursday. If you try to do that, especially if you have younger children at home, having company will be a nightmare that you live through. It's going to be one of those, we're never doing that again. But so you've got to stretch it out throughout the week and do as much cleaning and food preparation ahead of time. And that's why I like lasagna. It can be made the day before. There are a lot of things that you can make the day before, like you can clean salad, you can make potato dishes and spaghetti sauce and things like that ahead of time. And if by chance you do have a nightmare experience, that doesn't mean you quit, okay? It means, let me see what I can learn from this so that the next time will be better. But organization is the key. And then next is creativity. Creativity is simply seeing what you have and asking the Lord what you can do with it, okay? Instead of feeling frustrated and wishing that you had more. It's seeing what you have as far as your home, okay? It may be small, that's okay. You may not be able to have a dinner party of 20, but you can have another family over. You may not have a dining room. That's okay. My first home didn't have a dining room, so I would simply put the food on the stove and the counter, and the children would eat in the kitchen, and the adults would eat in the living room. And it wasn't perfect, but remember, we're not looking for perfection. We're looking to reach out and minister the love of Christ to people. Now, you may not have china. That means nothing when it comes to having people over. Real dishes are nice, and a sit-down dinner is nice, yet dinners served smorgasbord style on paper plates and plastic forks bless people just as much. Creativity is seeing what you have financially And for most of us, most of you right now, especially if you are a stay-at-home mom, might not be much. The budget can be tight, but the dinner does not have to be extravagant. It can be a pot of chili or soup, even hot dogs and hamburgers. When you're grocery shopping and you see chicken or beef on sale, buy extra and freeze it with the idea of using it when you have company. I like to do this with salmon. Salmon is expensive, but boy, is it a blessing when you have people over who like salmon and you make them salmon. Woo! But I buy one or two pieces every time I go grocery shopping, and I stick it in the freezer and I use it for company. And that is a real blessing to people. When the budget is tight, a wonderful way to minister to a girlfriend is to have her and her family over for dinner on her birthday. Make that her gift. We all love it when we don't have to cook. And I remember once for a Pastor's Appreciation Month, a couple in our church gave us a coupon, and it was redeemable for a dinner at their home. And I was even supposed to call and make reservations. And I thought that was really a really creative way to bless us, rather than giving us a gift certificate, that they had us come to their home for dinner, and that was a real blessing. So, I mean, that might be an idea you might want to use for a Christmas gift for someone, and is a coupon of coming to your home for dinner. Creativity also looks for special ways to lift someone up who's going through a hard time. One way you can do this is to take your kids to a friend's house or to Grandma and Grandpa's house to be watched while you have another couple over for a quiet candlelight dinner. And that way you can spend the just uninterrupted time talking with this couple and ministering to them. This is the real heart of hospitality, to look past the preparations, to look past the fear of having someone in our home, and to not focus on what we don't have, but to see the needs of people and how we might minister the love of Christ to them. And the Lord will give you many creative ways that you can do that. But you're also going to need a sense of humor. Humor is essential when it comes to practicing hospitality, because what seems like a tragedy can many times become a treasured memory. I'll never forget the time I made a pumpkin pie. That was our dessert, and I forgot to put the sugar in it. And these guests, they were just eating it, and then I ate it. I'm like, something doesn't taste right. And they were so gracious. No one said anything until I said, this tastes terrible. I forgot to put the sugar in it. But the time that we were all going to sit down at the table, and I miscounted, and I didn't have the table set for enough people. Or the time when we ran out of gas in the grill. That ever happened? You know, you can have a cookout and the gas grill ran out. I'll never forget the time one of our guests' child vomited in the basement on Christmas Eve. And I'll never forget the time that our toilet broke when we had company. But, you know, even more so, humor is essential when kids are involved, because you never know what can happen. Something may get spilled, or they can easily say or do something that you don't expect. Actually, you could guarantee that they're going to say or do something that you didn't expect when you have company. But when your focus is on blessing people, and not on everything being perfect, you will find yourself being lighthearted about the mishaps instead of devastated by them. So a sense of humor is important, as well as flexibility. Flexibility goes hand in hand with having a sense of humor. You won't be flexible if you don't have a sense of humor. Flexibility simply means not taking too seriously any aspect of hospitality. It's not shooting for perfection. The goal isn't perfection. The goal is touching people's lives with God's love. Flexibility means allowing your children to be involved. Remember, you're teaching them to reach out to others. It's not getting them out of the way so I can get this done. It's allowing them at age-appropriate times to help you, and whenever you have them help you, it won't be perfect. You can start with assigning your younger kids the job of taking the guests' coats and putting them on the bed. I mean, they can start doing that at even 4 and 5 years old, you know, just that simple job. If there are other children coming, you can have them help you with the menu. I mean, ask your children, what do you think these kids are going to like to eat? Have them help with the menu. Let them help you set the table. When they're younger, when they're little and they can't, you know, actually put them on the table, but you can have them hand you things as you place them on the table. Our daughter always had the napkin job. She figured out this real fancy way to fold napkins. And so she still has a napkin job when she comes and we set the table. She does the napkins. And then another thing is have them prepare. Have them get their room ready for company. This is a great way to get them excited about cleaning their rooms. Just like we clean the house and we get ready for company. Well, they need to get their rooms ready. They can get out certain toys to play with and things to do. The idea is to get them excited about having people over and for them to start thinking and planning and getting ready for the company, just like you do. And don't hesitate to ask your husband to help you in some way, even if it's just to watch the kids for a while you get some things prepared. But I want to give you a tip. You're going to have to ask him. Okay, I remember trying to prepare for company, and my husband would just be doing his own thing. And I'd be upset that he wasn't helping me. And he could tell that I was stressed and upset, and he'd ask me, what's wrong? Is something wrong? And I would tell him, it sure would be nice if you could help me with something. And he'd say, well, what do you want me to do? Just ask me. And you know what I found? That if I just asked him, instead of expecting him to read my mind, he was always more than happy to help me. He'd say, sure, I'll do that. So learn to be flexible in the area of hospitality, keeping in mind that the idea is not a perfect setting or a perfect table or a perfect budget or even perfectly well-behaved children. When you leave here today, I want you to remember that a heart for hospitality says, I want to open my home and share the love of God, but share what God has given me with others. All different kinds of others, friends and family, the lonely and hurting, and even those that I don't know very well. And I want you to remember that a heart for hospitality looks past the work and the preparations and the home and sees people. And there's no better time to start than during the holiday season to allow God to begin to work in your heart and start the journey of learning to practice biblical hospitality. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as women who love you, we know that we are commanded to love one another, and your word tells us that if God so loved us by sending his son to die for our sins, we also ought to love one another. And one of the best ways to love others is by practicing hospitality. So Lord, help us to look past the fear and the inconvenience and whatever else hinders us from reaching out to others, and to see what you see, people who need to be touched by the love of Christ. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. All right, well, we're going to go into our discussion time right now and for a little bit, and then after that, Jen's going to come up and help us make our homes more beautiful with craft. But I want to just encourage you to be here next month, because I'm going to be talking on discipline. And I think if there's one area that I know when I was a young mom that I needed the most help in, was the training and disciplining of my children. So I just want to encourage you to do all you can to be here next month.
It's such a simple concept, but